Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Tonight is our Bible study. And we're in the book of... Oh, tell me where we're at.
Samuel,
yeah. Samuel chapter 6. It's a bit of a strange reading, really. What's happening at this time. Now, I'll just give you a little run through. When God spoke to the Israelites, he told them, he gave them ordinances, he told them what he wanted to do. And every one of us here should know what the Ark of the Covenant is, because we've probably watched Indiana Jones and
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Was it Raiders of the Lost Ark? Johnny knew more about that than me. And you see the picture of, it was just a golden a box that had the Aaron's rod that budded, the Ten Commandments, and it had manna in it, manna from heaven. That was the three things that was in it. And it was a place where it was anointed, it was what God wanted, it was there, God told them what he set up. And it was a picture of that God's presence was with them. Now what's happened is we've had in chapter 4, you've had it where Eli's two sons,
Hophni and Phinehas,
they've gone to war, which is something they shouldn't have done, and they've brought the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Philistines heard that there was a mighty roar, like the Egyptians of the Israelites have brought the Ark of the Covenant out, there was a great roar, like God himself had turned up. The Hebrews, the Jewish people, are praising the Lord. The Israelites are shouting and saying, oh, God is with us now, we're going to win. And they got beat. And then the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's promise, it was God's... Remember at this time, everybody's got false idols. Everybody's got... they're worshipping Dagon. They're worshipping other gods, Baal and Ashtra. They're all worshipping their other gods. And it's like they've captured gods. They've captured their gods and they've got him now. They've took the Israelites' main... I don't know, it was their main source of what God had told them what he wanted. It was what God had represented on earth at that time. So this Ark of the Covenant that they've took it back to a place. The Philistines have got it. And last week... You see, well, they had nowhere to store it. Jim Boy preached, and they took it to the temple of Dagon, and it brought the picture, the statue of Dagon was, if you like, bowed down towards the Ark of the Covenant. It was broke, its hands was broke, its head cut off, and it was laid down on the floor. And it was a picture, they didn't know what to do with it. It was like, this Ark of the Covenant, they just smashed their idol straight away. In chapter 5, it tells you that the people began to have, they began to break out, they started to die. They had deadly tumours that come upon them, and they started to die. So now we pick up this story in chapter 6. Before we do, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 6. Heavenly Father, I do pray, my Lord, that you'd minister to your church, my Lord God. As we come to your word and we come to this portion of scripture, my Lord, I pray, my Lord God, that you give me the words to say, my Lord, that you'd help me, my Lord, deliver the message that you've given me for this night. And I pray, my God, that you'd help us to have an understanding, my God, of your word. I pray and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now it's chapter 6, verse 1. It says, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. So they said, if you send it away, the Ark of God of Israel, do not send it empty, but... all by all means return it to him with a tribute trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why. His hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering that we should return to it? Now, let's just stop there for a minute. The Philistines have got it. Now they're breaking out in tumours, and they know the reason why. They know it's because they got this Ark of the Covenant. There's things that people are dying. It's a terrible time for these people. And he said that their priests, not God's priests, their priests, their diviners, like their, what do you call diviners? Spiritualists?
Yeah, not spiritualists.
They'd be like a spiritualist now, they're diviners. Yeah. They said, look, this is what you've got to do. This is the way to send it back. Send it back with tribute. Send it back with, like, put something on the covenant, on the ark. Send it back. And we see, this is how ungodly people deal with the Lord. Because it's, what can we do? What can we do that will appease God? Like, things that go wrong in people's lives. Well, surely I've been a good person all my life, and we want to bring out the good deeds. If not, then if people we see here around the ungodly are dealing with something that is godly. Does this keep going off and on, or what? Is it just my voice? Keep going deaf, and then out, and then I can hear again. But this is how these people are dealing with it. They're dealing with God, but in an ungodly way. Jesus Christ is their tribute. It's not by works that man can boast. It's nothing that I can do that can make me right with God. And the ungodly people in there are sending something. They're sending a tribute to make it all right. Look, we're going to send the Ark of the Covenant back. We're very, very sorry that we took it, but we're going to give things over as well to stop this, stop us having tumours, or stop us from dying with these deadly diseases. So that is what their diviners told them. Look, don't let it go back empty-handed. Make offerings. Send things back. And this is what we're going to read. It's still in verse 4. It says, and they answered, and this is what they had to send back. And they answered, 5 golden tumours and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague which was on all of you and your lords. Now, they have told them to make images of their tumours. I know if we have a question time, someone is going to ask, like, I don't know what that looked like. Obviously, they were breaking out in tumours, but they made golden images of the tumours that was upon them and sent it back on the ark. And rats. I find this weird. When I was reading this, I thought, I've landed the scripture here. I don't know what's going on here. But that's what they was told. This is how they thought was right. This was what they thought was the right thing to do. Rats are an unclean animal. We all know that. Don't eat rats. Rats are an unclean animal. It's unclean biblically. To make a golden image of the tumour, that is not a godly thing. These ungodly people are trying to deal with our holy God in a way that they think's right. In a way that they would deal with it to their God. And that's not right. They had no understanding. They just thought they was doing what was right. They just thought whatever's their best efforts then. What should we do? Inquire of the mediums or the spiritualists. Inquire of somebody else. Not to go send somebody out and say, look, how should we bring this back? Not to go to the Israelites. They were trying to do the best of what they think. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's that broad road. That people are trying to do the best what they think to get to God. How do they get ill? How does it come? It's not like that. God has set up in his way, in his truth. He tells us how we should deal with the things of the Lord. And here we have these group of people under affliction, but have nowhere to go and don't know the best thing. Verse 5 it says, that you should make images of the tumours, images of rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, and he did mighty things among them? Now, the Israelites at this time have been in the land. They've been in Israel for a number of years, for a long time. It wasn't just a few months or a few weeks. They've been there for a long time. And they're at this place, but the testimony of what God's done many, many miles away is still ringing in the ears of the, if you like, the ungodly people. The testimony of what God's done in the Israelites' life, the testimony that God has done to them, how he delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of Egypt, what he's done for them out of Egypt, how he's brought the plagues upon Egypt, how the things that went on in Egypt, and how God himself rescued the Israelites out of the hand of Pharaoh. And it's a strange thing to see this, because this is the head, the Philistines, this is like their head men, are saying, remember what God did in that land. Remember what God did. Do you know, brothers and sisters, what a testimony that is? What a testimony that is? That we have a testimony to cause other people, remember what God has done. Remember what God is doing. In our lives, in our church's lives, in our brothers and sisters' lives, in the people that stand up here and give testimonies about how God has healed, how God has saved, how God has done work. It's a testimony. And this year was like, it was a testimony, wasn't it? It was like, look, don't harden your heart because Pharaoh did it. Look what happened to him. This is news. Remember, that they wasn't writing this down like a newsletter. This was in the ages when they never had paper. It wasn't like they could write it, and it was word of mouth. They talked to one another. They listened. And now they said this. Now they said, do not harden your hearts like Pharaoh did. What an example. This was years later. This was out of the days, out of that time. This was years later that took place. And these people still remembered. What a picture that them people were saying. Listen, I know that you're coming under attack, but don't be like Pharaoh. Don't kick against it. Don't harden your heart. Ask the Lord to forgive. Do what's right. There's a testimony in that. There's a testimony to us. There's a testimony in this that the Lord of the Lord of the Israelites rescued them. And again, these pharaohs, these Philistines knew it. Let's not go too hard. Let's not harden our hearts. Let's give back. We've been plagued. Let's give up now. Remember that the Ark of the Covenant was something that they wanted. When they seized it in battle, it was like they've won. We've beat the Israelites. They're finished. They're gone. We've won. This was something that's took them 7 months. Loads of them have died. Loads of them broke out in tumours. They've been overrun with rats and they don't know what to do. And they've been overrun for these 7 months. They've been dying for 7 months. They don't know where to go. And they've worked it out. We've got the Ark of the Covenant. Our God Dagon is falling before it. There's loads of things that's going on here. We know that what we've got to do. We've got to give this Ark of the Covenant back. Let's not harden our hearts. Let's do what's right. Let's not be so embittered or say, no, look, we're going to take it. We're going to keep it for ourselves no matter what. Or we're going to bury it, or we're going to take it away. They knew that they couldn't do that. Why? Because of the testimony that went on in the past. And brothers and sisters, what God has done in the past, he can do in the future. What God does in our past, he can do in the future. What God done yesterday, he can do today. And these people knew it. The unsaved people here knew it. This is the God who rescued them out of Egypt. If we become like Pharaoh and harden our heart, we're all going to get wiped off the planet. I like the idea, it's God that causes his name to be great here. It was God that caused his name to be great. Not the Egyptians, not the Israelites, because a lot of them is just backslidden. And in a minute, in chapter 7, you're going to see how Samuel brings them back to repentance. A lot of them are worshipping foreign gods. A lot of them have gone that way. But these people knew. They didn't say, oh, like, we've got to send it back. They knew that it was God himself that did this. When he did the mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? Verse 7. Now, therefore, make a new calf and take two milk cows which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the calf and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the calf and put the articles of gold which you have returned to him as a trespass offering in a chest by the side. Then send it away and let it go and watch. And if it goes up the road to the territory of Beth Shemesh, that's Israel, if it goes to Beth Shemesh, which is Israel, then he said, then he has done us his great evil. If not, then we shall know that it is not the hand that struck us, that it happened by chance. Here we have the Philistines dealing with this in an ungodly way. They put the Ark of the Covenant on top of this new cart, and they're going to put two cows that have never pulled a cart before, and they're going to send them. And they're going to deal with this our unsafe people do. Take a chance. Well, we'll do it this way, and then we'll know, because if it goes that way, then we know that it was God that done it. But if it goes this way, then we know it was all by chance. It was all cactus anyway. It's just something that's happened to us. And how many people have we seen that? We've seen the affliction of God come upon people's life. They won't repent of it, and they just say, listen, that's just how life is. And sometimes it is that way. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We serve a true and a living God. We serve a God that can save, heal and deliver. And sometimes that these people, that they had no other way of dealing with this, no other way of, like, they understood that this was an Ark of the Covenant. They understood that this was what happening because they had this Ark of the Covenant, but there was still unbelief. Still unbelief. And they got these two cows, and that's what they did with them. And it says in verse 10, then the men did so, they took the two milk cows and hitched them to the calf and shut their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on a cart and the chest with the gold racks and the images of the tumours, and the cows headed straight to Beth Shemesh. And they went along the highway lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, strange thing about cows, I'll tell you how I know this. We think that I'm frightened to death of them, by the way. Joseph laughs at this because I don't like cows. They're not as divvy as what everybody thinks. They're quite intelligent. Have you ever heard it said, they'll be doing that until the cows come up? Have you ever heard that said? Yeah. I was in Romania. Me, Stanley Tidd, Robert Davey, Robert Finney, there was a load of us. We went out there, I was 19, and we went out in Romania, and we was giving out aid. We went out there, we'd done a work in the church. We went up to a village where we preached the gospel, we were giving out food, we preached the word of the Lord there. On the way home, now you think about Romania, it's a big, this road would be like a main road to it. And we're up a dirt track. There's no other motors really. We're the only minibus there. There might be one or two motors, there's no traffic jams. We're stuck in a load of traffic. I said, whatever, why are we moving, what's going on? And they said, it's time that the cows come home. And I'm 19-year-old and I'm thinking, whatever does that mean? And I watched this with my own eyes. The cows, they would let out of a morning and they would go out to graze. They would go out to eat. And before it got dark, so sort of this time, about dusk, all the cows come home. And the woman sat there And she undone a gate, and her cow walked in and she shut the gate. She never called it, she never shouted. That's just what happens. Now, why everybody finds that funny? Probably just the way I tell them. When you've got these cows that are brand new, that they've never pulled a cart before, and they've got calves. Yeah. And they've got calves. Where did they send them? They took them home. Yeah. These cows don't, it ain't like they don't know where to go. They know where to go. They know where home's at. They know where to go. And when you think that these are two big docile animals that you're just going to crack and they're going to walk off to go where they want to go, this is something that God did. Because they would have gone to their calves. That's where they would have gone. Yeah. And when it says they was walking along lowing, it went they walked along mooing. They was quite happy. They was walking and they never strayed. They went to that place and they got there. They never strayed. They was doing something that God, if you like, designed them for. I never went to the right or to the left. I wish sometimes I was sensible as these cows. I got the job done, went straight there, never turned left or right. And the picture is here that this is what, it was a picture that God could bring back. They could have fit, every one of them, all the army of Israel could have come back and tried to fight these Philistines to get the Ark of the Covenant. They could have done it. They could have fought, raged war against them. Could have done that. But do you know something? God doesn't need an army to keep him. He doesn't. God's always in the place that he intends to be. He showed the Philistines who he was. He showed Dagon that he will bow before him. He showed all them Philistines what was going on. They had the tumours, they had everything. He even showed them that these are the two cows. They should turn this way and go back to their young. But they never. They went straight to Israel. A place that they've never been. They've never went there. They don't go eating in the lands of Israel because the Israelites would have kept them. They've walked to this place that they've never been there before. This was something that God did. God does not need man. God can do his work without us. Do you know that? He will use a donkey to speak. He will instruct cows where to walk. He will tell a fish where to go and swallow Jonah. And he will send a worm to eat the bush that Jonah was resting under. God is in control. When Jesus went and said, go and get that unbridled donkey that's never been ridden on before, bring it here and I'm going to ride it in. Has any of you ever tried to ride a donkey that's never had anything on its back before? An horse? They kick quite a lot, don't they? That donkey knew who was on his back. Knew who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knew. Do you know something? Animals know who Jesus was. They're obedient to him. I think it says even the lion roars and gives glory to the Lord. Gives thanks. It's like we know that the animals know who God is. And they've used it in this way and they've got to where they've had to be. And the lords of the Philistines, so verse 12, it says, and the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping the harvest in the valley. And they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart that came into the field, Joshua of Beth Shemesh, stood there, and a large stone was there. So they split the wood off the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. There's a picture here of this. Again, God's provision is perfect. God's provision, he stopped the cows at a place, or at the rock, at the place where they stood. They got the Ark of the Covenant, they took the cart, this new cart, and they took the wood of it, burnt the wood, and made an offering of the two cows. And I want to tell you something. God himself will always provide the sacrifice. When he did that, where else did he do that? Done it at the cross, yes, but where else before that? before this. Abraham and Isaac. God, the Bible says that God himself will provide a sacrifice. He provided here, he's providing again. They took it off, they burnt it. It says the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, this is verse 15, and the chest which with it, which were the articles of gold, they put them on a large stone, and the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices, and the same day to the Lord. So that when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. These are the golden tumours which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord. One of Ashdod, one of Gaza, one of Ashkelon, one of Gath, and one of Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities of the country, with villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, to which they set the ark on, of the Lord, which the stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua in Beth Shemesh. Here we have the it's gone now. The Philistines have watched this cow, they've watched them do it, they've watched it all take place, and they now have returned home. So in verse 19 it says, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh. So who are the people of Beth Shemesh? What are they? What breed of people? They're not Philistines, they are Israelites. It says, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh. Seems like they've done everything that's right up to this point. Because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. That's something, isn't it? So the Philistines, the ungodly people, the Philistines, they've just been struck with tumours and lots of them have died. Now, verse 19, it says that they've made sacrifice, they've done everything was right, the Levites was there. And then it says, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Why did he treat these men so harshly, do you think? Why did he treat these so hard? The others, they like had a bit of time, didn't they? They had tumours, they had time to talk, they had time to put it on a cart, to work it out, 7 months. He struck these men straight away, bang, all dead. There is a difference. There is a difference. Everybody understand what the word ignorant means? Do you know what the word ignorant means? It means without knowledge. So if you're ignorant, it means you're without knowledge. I don't like being called ignorant. I don't think anybody else here likes to. But it means to be without knowledge. The Philistines was ignorant. They was without knowledge how to handle the Ark of the Covenant. They did not know. But the Jewish people did. The Israelites knew how to handle it. How did the Israelites? Why did the Israelites know how to handle it? How did they take it off the car? Who was there that took it off the car? The Levites. The Levites took it off. So they knew the Levites was the only ones that could handle it. I'll tell you something. God makes provision when we don't know. If you sin and you make a mistake, or you do something that you didn't realise that was wrong, God makes provision for that. God does, doesn't he? God makes provision for that all the time. But the Bible says that when you've come to the knowledge of the truth, that now you know what's right and wrong. Now you know. As Christians, you know what's right and wrong. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we read the Word of God. Because it instructs us, it tells us what's right and what's wrong. These people knew what was right, but did what was wrong. The Philistines didn't know what was right. They just took a gamble, took a best guess, put it on a cart that's never been ridden before, never been used, put it on a cart, said this, the best efforts. But the Israelites never had to do that. The Israelites knew what they had to do. They knew it. And sometimes we think God's harder on us. Sometimes God is, because we should know better. We should know better. As Christians, the Bible says that God speaks to us. He leads us by the Holy Spirit. He teaches us what's right and wrong. He leads our word what's right and wrong. He teaches us. And I'll use this not to pick out anybody, I don't know, but I'm just using this as an illustration. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. Yes or no? Does that what it says there? What happens with bad company then? So you go and mix with somebody that's alright, who's on drugs, drinking, partying, living wild. They make it seem good and pleasurable. Sooner or later, you want to go as well. That's a good picture, isn't it? When the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. What a picture that is. But how many of us have not obeyed that? We've slipped up in areas. We've mixed with the wrong company and then found ourselves doing wrong things. Do you know something? Before you was a Christian, God wouldn't hold you into account of that. Now you are a Christian, God does hold you into account of that. Because he gives you instruction, he teaches you what's right. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, that's what the word of God says, not me. If you've got a problem with that, take it up with the word of the Lord, not me. But the point I'm trying to make is, we have got knowledge, we that understand, we that have got Christ, have accepted the Lord, we know the truths about the word of the Lord. We cannot now live ungodly lives because these people tried to do something. Maybe these Philistines, more than likely, had a little peek in the box and had a look this out. And God never held them accountable. God never done to them what he was doing to the Israelites here. He never done to them. But when the Israelites, because they had knowledge, because God told them, do not do this, they was all there having a little peek. Well, brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be tempting to have a look inside the Ark of the Covenant? Would you not be tempted to look inside? Because I would. I'd like to have a look. What does manna look like? What does the Ten Commandments that God writ himself. I want to see this. The Aaron's rod that budded is still there. I want to see it. These men are inquisitive. They want to see it. They want to have a look. But God called these things holy and said, no, you shall not look inside. You shan't do it. God was so holy at this point, when they had the tabernacle, that they would put a rope on the high priest. Do you remember this? The story before they put a rope on the high priest, that when he went into the Holy of Holies, if he himself was with sin and wouldn't repent of it, if he himself was with sin, he would die. And they would listen. They had like bells around his robe. And if they heard that it wasn't moving, they would get the rope and pull him out and knew that he was wrong and that he had died. It was so holy. God was so holy. He was so righteous to these people. And now they've led this Ark of the Covenant. They've took it out of the wall when they shouldn't. Shiloh's finished. The place where it was, where the tabernacle was, it's desolate now. There's a curse upon it that no person should ever live there. And people today, there's no city on top of it. They've treated this Ark of the Covenant, the things of the Lord, they've treated them like it's a nothing. The Ark of the Testimony, it's called. The testimony of God, or God is with them, or God's presence is there. Now, even the godly people, even the ones that's right, they're treating God's holy thing like the unsaved people. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? They're treating God like unsaved. I do this, God will shine his light on me. I do this. God's done enough. Salvation's enough for me and you. Our lot in life is our lot in life. Whatever comes or goes, salvation is enough. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. Uphill, downhill, struggles, my walk with the Lord, whatever I face, Jesus has done enough for me. I deserve hell. He took my place and died upon a cross. There is nothing that I can do that make God love me more. I can't please him by doing good things. There are good deeds that he set up for me so that I can walk in and I receive a reward for it. But we cannot treat God or even the church of God or even the things of God or even... We can't treat God the same way as the ungodly. because there is always a consequence. These people, the Ark of the Covenant come back into their presence. They wanted to treat it like it was, it's just a thing, it's just an article. It means nothing. Yes, have a look inside, yeah. Later on, you're going to read about David. In Samuel chapter 2, you're going to read about how David dealt with this. You know how David went and got the ark the first time? Put it on a cart, put two cows on it, at the front of it, and walked. And when one of the cows stumbled, his friend Uriah struck out his hand, or Uzzah, I think his name was, put out his hand, touched the Ark of the Covenant, and he dropped stone dead straight away. And David was upset with the Lord because of this. And you know what the problem was? David had good intentions, but he'd done it the wrong way. He'd done it the same way as the ungodly. We don't treat God the same way as the ungodly. We only come to God when we need something. We only want something from the Lord. We've got something that's going on with us. We've got something that we need prayer for. Oh, if I do this or I do that, yeah, it'd be good that time. We don't treat God as the unsaved do. We serve the Lord, thick and thin, up, down, good times, bad times. We're Christians, we're born again, we're saved by His precious blood. They used the things of the Lord here like there was nothing, like the ungodly did. And that was a terrible... the amount of people that died at this day, it rung out. They've just got it back to this place, Beth Shemesh. And it says, and the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before his only, the Lord God? They only thought God was holy after they all died. Do you understand that? It's like, oh, cracker, God's holy now. He was holy before. He given the instruction, he told them. Who is able to stand before the holy God? And who shall go up for us? So let us send messages to the inhabitants of Kerjath. Go on, somebody else read that out.
Kerjath Jearim.
Says the Philistines have brought the ark of the Lord and come down. Take it up to you. Then the men of Kerjath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. They've got it back. Now, a load of them have been wiped out and died because of their ignorance, because of that's what they didn't do what was right. Sorry, they wasn't ignorant, they was with knowledge. And they didn't handle it right, so they all died. And now they're saying, look, we don't want it here with us, at Beth Shemesh, send it away, send it to somewhere else. And they sent it to this place. And this man, he had it, I think in the next chapter, or in the next verses, you say that he had it for 20 years. And everything that he did, he prospered. He grew in the things of the Lord. He looked after it. He put it in a room and he kept it as a holy thing, and the Lord blessed him because of it. He tread it with the reverence that it needed. Funny story, what a story this is. How the Lord himself brought the Ark of the Covenant back. How the Lord did that work. How the men of God treated it like the unsaved. They treated God like unsaved people. And that's not right. We should never do that. Any questions, brothers and sisters? On what I've preached tonight.